Ephesians. And Ephesians is a book of two halves. So chapters 1 to 3 are theology and doctrine, and then chapters 4 to 6 contain some theology, but essentially it's Christian practical instructions and moral exhortations. That means encouragement to live morally, of how we should behave and act in the light of the theology in 1 to 3. So it is connected. Paul picks up on various themes we're going to look at in a moment from chapters 1 to 3 and tells us what we should do about it in chapters 4 to 6. So today we start the second half, so chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. And I very much hope you've got your Bibles open so that you can follow as I go through it. So let me pray before we carry on. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you that your word teaches us your truth about yourself, but also your truth about how we should then apply it. I pray you have our minds and hearts open to you, Lord, today. Give us understanding of what you're saying to us and help us to respond to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as I said, there's several themes from the first half of the book are picked up in this passage, and they're very important themes. One is unity. There's the church as the body, and Jesus is the head of the body. There's a theme about God's grace, and then how we are equipped by God's grace. There's a thing about that we do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do, and that means we have a purpose, each one of us. There's the work of the Holy Spirit, and that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And there is that Christians are being built up and built together. So Paul says in this passage, in the light of these doctrinal truths, we should be growing towards maturity in Christ. Maturity in Christ. So in verse 14 he says, no longer infants. And in verse 15, that we should be growing to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Okay, so we as individuals should be growing towards maturity as Christians, and as a body we should be growing towards maturity. So I've got three questions for you. Number one is this: is that what you want for yourself? Do you want to grow as a Christian to maturity? And you might think that's a silly question. Of course I do. Well, do you know, for some people, we just want to go so far and no further. For some people, we feel as if we can't get any further. We feel as if, there's something about me, there's something wrong with me or whatever, and I just can't get close to God. But is it what you want for yourself? That you grow to maturity. Then second question, is that what we want for our church? We together, that we, all of us, you know, that we don't have stragglers or drifters or people who just stay and live on the fringe. But everybody is in. Everybody is growing, you know, wanting to be mature in Christ, and everyone's growing towards that maturity. Is that what we want for our church? And then the last question, which might be the trickiest. If way over here, I think I'll use the flowers. If where the flowers are, just move forward, that's an infant, okay? Hasn't grown much. Way over there, where the speaker is, it's a mature Christian. You can really hear God speak, you know. Speaker. So that's the line between infant and mature Christian. Whereabouts would you put yourself? Something I don't need you to answer that question to me. Because actually, it's nothing to do with me. That's between you and God. Yeah, it's only between you and God. It's nothing to do with anybody else, unless you want to talk to them to help you. But actually, it's up to you and God, between you and God. Where are you? Are you way back here as an infant, or way over there? You can feel that you're way back here, but if you do, I've got some good news for you, which we'll come to a bit later on. And not only is it good news, it's actually great news. It's actually fantastic news. It's actually amazing news that will change your whole life, and you'll realise that, hey, actually, things aren't maybe the way they seem. So I'll tell you where we're going to go today. We're going to have an overview summary of the passage. Then we're going to look at what Christian maturity looks like for me and for the church. And then we're going to talk about how we attain to Christian maturity. And the really good news comes right near the end. Okay, so the overview, which I'll go through fairly quickly, in verses 1 to 6, Paul actually writes about six qualities of the maturing Christian. Right? Six qualities of the maturing Christian. Then in verses 7 and 8, he talks about how Jesus gives us gifts of grace to equip us and the church. And he uses a quote from Psalm 68. And in the quote, that it's a picture of a victorious king who's ascending to his throne after battle, right? He's won this battle, and the captives are all in his train. And this victorious king, as he's ascending to his throne, everyone's giving him things, right? He's receiving gifts because he's done so well. Well, Paul quotes this, and he quotes it about Jesus, but he changes a very important part of it. And he changes the last part, and he shows Jesus as the victorious king ascending to heaven, but giving gifts away. Yeah? So he's giving gifts to all of his people, especially you, actually. Especially you. Verse 7, to each one of us, especially you, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Okay, then in the next bit, it's a bit of an aside of Paul's. Paul's a bit of a one for having little asides. And this aside celebrates Christ in his smallest as he comes to earth, but then Christ in his biggest, ascending. You know, after he's died and come back to life again, that he ascends. And Paul says he ascends to fill the whole universe. Then verses 11 to 3, it's about 11 to 13. Jesus equips you and me, especially you, to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, this isn't a full list, because there are many other spiritual gifts and ministries that God has given to the church. And many of them are listed elsewhere in the New Testament. And they are all given to equip his people for works of service. And then 13 to 16 is the goal of Jesus' church. Verse 13, we all become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And that's the goal, that we grow and become mature Christians. And of course, it's a process. And that fullness of Christ is about having Jesus fully in us, and we representing Jesus fully. So with the gifts that God gives us, we can go out and we can be Jesus to other people, bringing God's love, grace, mercy, forgiveness to everyone who we know, the people in our community. Okay, so that's the goal. So that's the quick summary. So now, we have six qualities of a maturing Christian, which Paul puts into those first six verses. So he begins with, he uses this phrase, live a life worthy of the calling. Live a life worthy of the calling. We are called, Jesus has called us, and we have responded and we have come. And now Paul says, now live a life worthy of that. And he begins with, be completely humble. Be completely humble. So the first quality is humility. I actually wish it said, try your best to be a bit humble. Because humility is the opposite of my default position. I always want people to be impressed by me, you know, by my stature, by my grey hair and stuff. Yeah. Pride is one of my favourite sins, and I come on, admit it, guys. It's one of yours too, right? Pride is a big sin. It's a big thing we have to deal with. And he says, be completely humble. Pride was the sin of Adam and Eve, who wanted to be like God. But if I want to grow towards maturity, I must learn to be completely humble. Now, do you know, as I go through these six qualities, you're going to think, oh my goodness, I must be way down here. But I've got good news for you later on. Secondly, gentleness. Now, gentle doesn't mean soft, but it means controlled strength. And William Barclay, writing about this verse, he describes this gentleness as angry at the right time and things, and not angry at the wrong time and things. Angry at others' wrongs, yeah, things that have hurt other people, but not moved to anger by wrongs, insults I have to bear. So able to react with gentleness. And we know gentleness obviously also means thoughtfulness, considerateness, kindness. Then there's patience. Now, there's two aspects of patience in this. Barclay writes, Christian patience is the spirit which never admits defeat, will not be broken by any misfortune or suffering, or by any disappointment or discouragement, but persists to the end. Right? Christian patience persists to the end. And in that respect, patience is also the ability to wait on God, which is very, very important. But then secondly, patience is, in the phrase Paul uses, bearing with one another in love, the ability to forgive and forget, not whinge and grumble. Can I just say this, by the way? I said this once before in this church, and I think it's time I said it again. Please forgive me. I will upset you. There's no doubt about it. There'll be something that I do or say that will upset you. And I'm sorry about that, but please forgive me. And I'll do the same for you, by the way. And come on, guys, let's do the same for each other. It says, bear with one another in love, yeah? And that's being patient, and that's being patient with each other. We're going to upset each other somewhere. Yeah, we're human beings. So bear with one another in love, and that's Christian patience. Then peace. Paul writes, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So that's in right relation with each other. No existing wars, fights, feuds, backbiting, gossip, rumour mongering, etc. And then love. Now, Paul mentions love three times in this passage, and it's a recurring theme in Ephesians. And humility, gentleness, patience, and peace are all expressions of love in action. Now, there's something else that these five have in common. Anybody tell me what these five have in common? Give you one clue, Galatians 5:22. I think you just said it over here. Somebody did. It's five of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that's part of the good news. So I'll just sneak this bit of good news in before I come to the real good news at the end. The fruit of the Spirit is what the Holy Spirit does in us, yeah? So therefore, you know, if I'm feeling bad, hey, I'm not very good at any of these things, or there's one or two of them that's really bringing me down, well, it's the Holy Spirit's job to help us, yeah? And if we take the right step, you know, when something happens, and we think, well, I'm going to try not to, you know, be upset or whatever, then God can come in and He can grow that fruit of the Spirit in us. Yeah. So that's good news. We don't have to strive to improve all the time. We let the Holy Spirit work in us. That's only a bit of the good news. Okay. So then, all of those five contribute to unity. And that's another big theme in Ephesians. Unity is a sign of the gospel in action. So as individuals, our attitude needs to be unity. We want unity amongst us. And unity is It's just the gospel of Jesus being lived out by Christians who are growing to maturity. Okay, so those are five signs of the maturing Christian, right? And with each of us committed to unity as one of the sixth sign. Okay, so now five signs of a maturing church. So the first one comes in the next part of the passage, verses 7 to 12. Every member plays his part. God gives gifts. Verse 7, it's what he says, that Jesus, 7 and 8, Jesus gives gifts. And then from verse 10, Jesus gives gifts to enable the ministries in the church. And he gives those gifts not because we've earned them or deserved them, but out of his grace to enable us to play our part in building up the body of Christ. Verse 16 says, from Jesus the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So that's a part of the picture of a maturing church, is everybody playing their part. Then secondly, I mentioned unity before. Well, unity comes up again in this last part. Verse 13, the body grows until we all reach unity in the faith. Verse 16 again, from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. So that's a picture of each of us as a part of the body and joined together with the rest. It's all about unity, friendship, harmony, welcoming, home groups functioning, love in action in all its many different ways, and good social events. So I hope you're going to come to our party on September 15th. So that's unity as a part, as a sign of a maturing church. Then knowing Jesus better. In that same verse, verse 13, says until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, so that we're growing in our intimacy with Jesus. There's a growing passion in our worship. There's growing power in our prayer meetings. Then number four, that we're no longer infants. He described the infants as tossed back and forth, blown here and there by waves, and the waves would be difficulties, circumstances, maybe confusion or illness. Not tossed back and forth, blown here and there by those, or by winds of false teaching that we hear, or cunning craftiness, deceitful scheming of people, but also of the devil. One of the main things that keeps us back here is listening to the lies of the devil that says to us, you're not worth much, you're no good as a Christian, or you just haven't got it in you to grow spiritually. Yeah, those are all lies of the devil. They're very, very powerful, and we can be totally convinced of those lies. He's very powerful in keeping us as infants. Then the last sign, that we speak the things of Jesus with love in our hearts and minds. And that's what that verse 15, where it says, speak the truth in love. The truth, who's the truth? Jesus, yeah? Jesus is the truth. So when we speak the truth, we're speaking about Jesus, and we're speaking about the things of Jesus. Everything that Jesus brings, that's speaking the truth in love. Now, please note that this verse is not an excuse for us to judge others and seek to put them right. Because often it's quoted like that. Oh, I'm going to have to sort that person out. I'm going to go and speak the truth in love. That's actually nothing to do with that verse. This verse is about speaking about Jesus and speaking in love. And so we need to be speaking the things of Jesus with love in our hearts and minds. Okay, so now, finally, how do we attain to Christian maturity? How do I get from there all the way to over there? I said it was good news, didn't I? Yeah? From Jesus, the whole body, verse 16, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And there's two key words there, and they're right at the start, from him. It's relationship with Jesus is what builds maturity in you and me. It's not trying to be good or trying to be a good Christian, but it's getting close to Jesus. And if you get close to Jesus, you will grow as a Christian because you will be full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be growing the fruit of the Spirit in you, and you will be becoming that mature Christian because it's relationship with Jesus that does it, okay? Now that should be some good news because it means you don't have to strive to get there. But here's another bit of amazingly good news. Are you ready for this? This is going to blow your minds, really. Because up to now you've been thinking, oh heck, I could be down there and I'm plodding along and oh, I could get all the way to there. Can I tell you, when you become a Christian, you're right here. Right? Let me illustrate. When I got married, June, you don't fancy coming up here and helping me illustrate something, would you?
Yeah.
I would have warned you, but I only thought about this just before the service, and I was saying to God, how can I get this message across? Right. You stand over there. When we got married, it wasn't like this. I wasn't saying, hey, darling, yes, I take you to be my, you know, wife and all that. And, oh, I'll try and get closer to you now. You know, try and get to that relationship. It wasn't like that at all. When we got married, we stood together, didn't we, darling?
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean our relationship wasn't mature, if you like, hadn't grown that much. We've had 28 years since then for it to grow. But I was right there with June, right? And do you know, we live in the same house. We even share the same bedroom. Yeah. When you become Christian, you are as close to Jesus as this. If you feel your way down there, that's because that's what you're feeling and thinking, but it's not the reality. The reality is Jesus is right with you. Right? Thank you, darling. You know, getting married is the closest analogy to becoming a Christian. So the good news is, no matter where you feel you are as a Christian, you know, in terms of relationship with Jesus, you're right next to him. You're right next to him. You're close to him, right? And so that's the first very important bit of good news. And the second very important bit of good news that will solve the whole issue of being close is the power of repentance. Now, God says that when you say sorry, he forgives you. And do you know how far away he says your sins are? Yes, that's right. As far as the east to the west. Well, that's as far as you can go. That's how far he removes your transgressions. If you've got the desire to be close to Jesus, right, and to feel that, then recognize the power of repentance. Say, God, I'm sorry, you know, for that stuff. I want to be close to you. And the repentance removes all of that sin, you know, all of your shame and stuff. Okay, it removes it completely. Now, if you feel you're struggling to get to that place of maturity, I really want to help you. Okay? And so therefore, please do come and talk. Because it could be that there are, you see, you can be, Jesus could be here and me here, but there could be something in my life that's just forming a barrier, and so I don't feel that he's as close as that. Yeah. And I want to help you to get rid of this. It's very, very important. If you desire to be growing to be a mature Christian, please come and talk. Otherwise, it may be that you just need to think about it a bit and pray, and that's what you need to do. But that's God's goal for you. become mature in Christ, and that we together become a church that is mature in Christ. Let me pray. Father God, I pray you'd come now in the power of your Spirit and speak into all of our hearts and minds, Lord. Come and help us now to consider where we feel we are in our relationship with you. Come and help us, Lord, to recognize if there is a barrier, is there something that's preventing me from being close to you, Lord, from growing into maturity as a Christian? Is there something that makes me think that I'll never get there and that I'm not worthy? Lord God, I know that you say I am worthy because you make each one of us worthy. We're each one of us worthy to live that life that you call us to. So Lord, I pray that you would destroy lies of the evil one, that you would speak your truth into our hearts and minds. And Lord, if for any of us, if we need to take a step further, we need to talk to someone, we need to have someone pray with us, I pray you'd give us the courage to do that. Lord, come in your power and your might to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to recognize the good gifts that Jesus has given us out of your grace. Help us to use those. Help us to grow in all the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that we may continue to become more and more mature as Christians, and our church too will be demonstrating all the signs of maturity, that we may be able to do all the things that you want us to do. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.